From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
I'm Robert Siegel, and we begin now with the question, how big is too big to fail? So far, Washington's answer has varied. AIG is and continues to be too big to fail. Bear Stearns and even Lehman Brothers were not. And now the government appears to be taking over Citigroup on the assumption that it is too big to fail. There are some dissenters. Alabama Republican Senator Richard Shelby told George Stephanopoulos on ABC yesterday, some big banks ought to be allowed to fail.
Close them down. Get them out of business. If they're dead, they ought to be buried. We bury the small banks, we've got to bury some big ones and send a strong message to the market. And I believe that people will start investing in banks. People
so
aren't
are you
buying.
You're talking Citigroup?
Well, whatever. Citi's always been a problem child.
Well, joining us now are two economists, Professor Kenneth Rogoff of Harvard and Adam Posen of the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
And first, Adam Posen, is a failure by Citi something that is so much bigger, say, than the failure of Lehman Brothers, that the government must do something to contain it?
Well, they're not going to let it actually fail, Robert. That's the point of having the government step in and take over, and we have laws on the books for how you unwind a bank. The thing is, you do euthanasia, and that's what we're talking about here. I mean, Mr. Shelby, Senator Shelby, is exaggerating to say we just let them collapse. We didn't even just let IndyMac collapse. But you definitely want to get them on a path where they don't get walking around zombie-like, passing out bad loans and burning through taxpayer money.
Kenneth Rogoff, you were on John McCain's team of advisors last year, and yesterday he said this about the Obama administration: I don't think they've made the hard decision, and that is to let these banks fail. Has he got it right?
I think he has it absolutely right. I think that the banks are going to need to go through some kind of receivership. The question is how fast. They're not viable. The amount of taxpayer money that's going to have to go in is in the trillions to fix them. And I don't think that's going to happen. Frankly, if it did, we could solve the problem that way. I completely agree with what Adam said. But the sticking point is, of course, banks make loans, but these banks took out loans also. And what happens to them? We all agree we should pay off the depositors. But the so-called bondholders, which could include insurance companies, pension funds, that basically lent money to Citibank, what do you do with them? I think that these people who lent money to Citibank ought to kick in some of the money also. That's what a real bankruptcy is.
Well, here comes another kind of too-big-to-fail question that's coming at us from Detroit. General Motors, at its present size, is generally considered too big to succeed. Is it also too big to fail? Must the U.S. have a big auto company like that? Kenneth Rogoff, what do you say?
Well, I don't think the U.S. is going to have big auto production in 15 or 20 years any more than we're making flat panel TV screens today. We may be very involved in the design phase. We may make some of the high-end parts for autos. But unless we have trade restrictions that prevent autos from coming in from Asia, I just don't see it. So it's very different than the banking system.
Adam Posen, what about General Motors? They, too, not only have auto workers whom they employ, but also suppliers, dealers, people in the service and parts departments of those dealerships. It's a big enterprise. Save it, let it die. Which one?
If it wasn't the middle of the recession, I would have said let it die. The issue is, when we're in the midst of this horrible downturn, do you want that sudden sharp a blow of particular regions and industries, particular sets of businesses being wiped out at a glance? And I don't think you can afford that under the current circumstances. I think if GM had gone under through capital market pressures in normal times, which frankly it probably should have, then there would have been no reason to keep it alive. But right now, if we had a better welfare state in this country, maybe I'd let it go. But under the current circumstances, I can't see doing it.
Kenneth Rogoff.
If I might comment, I mean, but people in the tech sector and biotech will say, well, fine, why are you subsidizing this dying industry? We're hurting from this recession too. Why not subsidize us? We have other sectors that really represent our future. why are we bailing out the auto industry and letting, you know, them suffer so much? They're having a lot of problems also.
There are a lot of biased bailouts going on right now. I mean, why are we bailing out homeowners as opposed to renters who didn't get any upside, didn't take on excess debt, and usually are poorer and more vulnerable than many of the people who own homes? I mean, we all do the best we can. Where Ken and I agree is that you should be imagining a future without GM in its present form. And whatever temporary bailout we give now, I would say, has to be emphasizing the workers and the community so you're not locking in the company.
Well, where I'd say it's different is that the financial sector, we really hope to compete in the future. We have a great legal system. We have good institutions. They've failed us here, but we still are ahead of China, the Middle East. And so that's an industry that hopefully, out of the ashes of this, will rise again. Whereas I think the auto industry, we're really headed towards phasing it down.
Well, thanks to both of you for talking with us about it today. Kenneth Rogoff of Harvard University and Adam Posen of the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing this.